Would you turn with me this morning to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24? Matthew 24. As Jeff was sharing earlier, as he led us in a creed and Mark, we are celebrating this weekend Memorial Day. And for many now in America, Memorial Day is just another three-day weekend, rather than understanding the significance of why we have this time to honor those who paid the ultimate sacrifice in war to secure the freedom that we enjoy, the freedom to come together, the freedom to worship, the freedom to declare our faith wherever we go. We have liberty to do that because others have paid a great price. Some people ask, why does there have to be war? You know, why can't we all just get along? That's even hard in our own homes, isn't it? Why can't we just all love each other and agree with each other? How many of you would like everybody just to agree with each other? Nobody here? How about if everybody would just agree with you? Everybody think it'd be a whole lot better, right? And, you know, why do we have to be contrary? Well, the Bible indicates the reason that there's evil in the world, contrariness, trouble, strife, war, fighting, conflict, is because we have these depraved natures that are self-serving, self-promoting, self-loving attitudes that promote what we want against what other people want from us. And that is just our sin nature, the Bible says. And there's only one person that can transform that nature. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? God's Word says, no more can a leopard change his spots. Can a man or a woman change our ways? It's kind of hard. You ever seen a leopard change his spots? Doesn't happen. Only God can change us. So we're going to be looking at Jesus' words here in Matthew 24 as he gives us a glimpse into our future. It's our present day and into our future. Listen to what he tells his disciples. Matthew 24, verse 1. Jesus left the temple and was going away when his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. And he answered them, "You see all these, do you not? Truly I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the close of the age?" So right there is the context of this verse. What will be the sign of your coming and of the close of the age? Jesus answered them, "See that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see that you are not alarmed." That's a good verse to underline if you have a Bible. "See that you are not alarmed. For this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come." Don't you wish there was better news than that? Wouldn't it have been great if Jesus would have said, "Things are going to keep getting better and better until I come. Lawlessness will decrease, and wars will cease before the coming of the Lord." But he didn't say that. Because he told us the truth about reality of the times we live in, the times that are before us. There will always be wars. Always be wars. There will always be rumors of more wars. There will always be nation rising against nation. And that is the way it's going to be until the time of our Lord comes. It is human nature to try to avoid unpleasant things. Especially in America, we try to make our lives as pleasant as we can, right? It's kind of anything that's troubling, we try to just kind of push it aside. So thinking about war, the losses and the cost is difficult for people. But today is Memorial Day, and it's a day set aside in our nation. No other nation in the world celebrates Memorial Day in order to remember those who have laid their lives down for the freedoms we enjoy. 1866, the first time Memorial Day was celebrated, it was after the Civil War when many lost loved ones during that time who had given their lives in order for the United States to stay united. And that was one of the greatest outcomes and rewards of the Civil War. Our nation was not split. It stayed united, and the ending of slavery. But as Jeff said earlier, freedom is not free. Freedom is not free. The abundance that we have, the amenities we enjoy, the freedoms that we have came at a high cost and continue to come at a high cost. Therefore, this day is set aside to remember those in the military, and not only in the military, but also those that are protecting our borders here, both abroad, here, and our communities in law enforcement, laying down their lives every day so that our societies, our communities can rest secure. And we forget about that oftentimes. Memorial Day is made for that. And through the years, it's taken on a little bit different significance. It was at one time only to remember those who had given their lives in the military, but it grew to include all of our loved ones who have died. How many of you every Memorial Day went out to a cemetery to decorate the cemetery and to remember your parents and grandparents? Anybody here? Yeah. That doesn't happen a whole lot anymore. But I'll tell you, my hometown of Walsenburg, Colorado, right now, half the town will be out at the cemetery tomorrow, cleaning up the grass, straightening up the tombstones, taking the weeds out of there. There's no caretakers down there of the cemeteries, but families go. And I remember growing up as a young boy, standing there in front of my grandparents' graves and having my parents and uncles and aunts tell the stories of how they sacrificed so much for us. It was a great time to remember. And it's also a time to build gratefulness. Because today in America, we're losing a gratefulness for what we have here. So thank God for days like this, Memorial Day. War, we're always going to have war. For those of you that are visiting, our church last year and this year have been reading through the Bible together from Genesis to Revelation. And we go through pretty much the same scriptures every week. And this last week, our congregation is in the book of Job. Great and powerful book, filled with insights into God's nature and man's nature. But one of the things we read in Job this week is God's sovereignty over all the nations of the world. In Job chapter 12, it says, "He makes nations great and he destroys them." God makes a nation great and God will destroy that nation. It's sad today that there are many Americans who think we made our nation great, or leaders made our nation great. It was God's blessing on our land. God made America great, and God can also destroy a nation, and he does. He raises one up, puts another down. If you read the Bible all throughout all of history, there were great leaders who came to recognize that. One of them's name was Nebuchadnezzar. I've never heard of a family named their son Nebuchadnezzar. That's a long name. And it's hard to spell. But Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon. And Babylon ruled the world at that time. Powerful, powerful nation. And Babylon came and conquered the Israelites and took them away to captivity. And Nebuchadnezzar thought he did it. He said, "I've been a great king and look at what I've built. And I built this beautiful city and I have all this land and I've conquered nation after nation." And then God came to him and gave him a wake-up call, right? How many know the story of Nebuchadnezzar? Read about it in the book of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar realized that it was not him that raised that nation up, but the Almighty Sovereign God that raised them up. And God used that wicked nation of Babylon, idol worship, to conquer the children of Israel, God's own people, because the Bible says that God raises one nation up, brings another down, and he works his judgments in the world through that, judging one, honoring another. And that's what he did. And then when Babylon conquered Israel, short time later, God judged Babylon. The Persians came in, then God judged the Persians, and the Greeks came in, then God judged the Greeks, and the Romans came in. You can just go through all of history. He raises one nation up and puts another one down. And men are so dumb, we think we do it all. But God is sovereign over all these things. Psalm 75 says, "It is God who executes judgment, putting down one and lifting up another." You see this many times in Scripture. talking about the sovereignty of God. Sovereignty of God, working through corrupt human nature, working through the evils of our time, working out his plan and purposes. History is not just a series of unrelated events, meaningless events. History is the working out of God's plan and purposes. And that is the Christian worldview of history. From the time of creation till the time God ends it all, it's the working out of his plan and purposes from one generation to another. History is his story. His story. It's about God Almighty and what he has done. So here today, is it important to remember those that have gone before us? Do you think we can develop an attitude of ungratefulness when we forget those who have sacrificed their lives for what we enjoy? How many think there's an attitude of ungratefulness pervading our culture today? Yeah. Turn with me to Romans chapter 13. One other passage this morning. We'll only take a couple hours on this one, and then we can go. I'm teasing you. Romans chapter 13. Very, very important passage of scripture here for us. What we're going to read here is in the context of two groups of people, the military and law enforcement. Romans chapter 13 here. And listen to what it says about this. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. Romans 13 verse 1. For there is no authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. And those who resist will incur judgment. There it is again. His judgments are in the earth. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. Now, when Paul wrote this, by the way, guess who was in the ruling power at that time? Rome was in the ruling power. And who was the emperor at that time? Nero was the emperor at that time. A wicked, really, by many historians, a maniac was ruling at that time. But he was talking about soldiers here. For he is God's servant for your good, because of the next verse. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. What was the sword in those days is the gun today. All right? He does not bear the gun in vain. He is a servant of God. This is law enforcement. This is military. Who does not bear the sword in vain. For again it says, he is a servant of God. Second time it says that. An avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. So when you have bad guys, you have law enforcement to put them in their place, kill them if necessary, in order to protect our communities. That is godly. They are God's servants. This is a powerful verse for today. When our military are overseas, we've been attacked, terrorists are threatening us, they go over there, they stop those terrorists, they stop the wrongdoers, they're protecting our nation. They are servants of God, working out his judgments in the earth. Is that powerful or what? I've been a police chaplain for years. I was down in Denver and Aurora for several years. I've done some chaplaincy work up here at the Sheriff's Department. Had many, many ride-alongs with officers. And when I get into a car with a non-Christian officer, most all the time I'll bring up this verse. When we're talking about things, you know, and they try to be sometimes on their better behavior because the chaplain's in the car. A lot of them don't care, and I'd rather them not care because I'm a guy just like them. But I would tell them sometimes, you know, you're a servant of God. He goes, Doug, I don't believe in God. That doesn't matter. God says you're a servant of God. God gives you the ability to catch the bad guys. And when I ride along with you today, I'm praying you're going to catch bad guys today. I'm praying you're going to stop those that are causing trouble. And many, many times those officers would have some great stops. One guy stopped a motorcycle one time. In fact, I was talking to him about this kind of thing. And he catches a speeding motorcycle. So we go on, pull the motorcycle over, and he goes up there, and he comes back and runs the license plate, and he goes, ooh, Doug, this is a good one. This guy has 4 warrants out for his arrest. Whoa, bingo. I mean, this guy's going, hey, thank you, Lord, yes. All right. Servants of God. Then it goes on to say here, Therefore, verse 5, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. So your conscience isn't. Well, how does that apply to us? Let me give you a little illustration. If you're a part of this church, you hear me say this all the time. Let's say you're driving down the road. Normally you obey the speed limit, but you're in a hurry. And when we're in a hurry, we don't want any rules, right? We are lawless when we're in a hurry. And so, boom, we go down, got the pedal to the metal, and we're pushing the speed limit 10 miles over, 15 miles over, 20 miles over. You know, for the sake of conscience, what we do, we start looking around behind us. Normally, if we're going the speed limit, got on cruise control, we're listening to music and talking. But when we're speeding, we're looking for Smokies. And here comes a car coming right at us. Ooh, we slow down because it looks like a patrolman. Nope, it's a ski wreck. Oh, man, got to keep on going. Our conscience gets to us. See? For because of this, goes on to say, for because of this, you pay taxes. Isn't that something? That's in the Bible. You pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God attending to this very thing. So this is in the context of law enforcement, all right? They bear not the revolver in vain. Be aware, you know, don't cross them. They are servants of God, punishing those who do wrong, giving approval for those who do right. It is God's mercy on our lawless world in order that we can have some peace and security. So he moves on the hearts, and I've watched this. He moves on the hearts of men and women to go and get a job as a police officer or as a sheriff's deputy. Or they join the National Guard. Or they enlist in the military. It is amazing to me through the years when I see people who really have a heart to join the military. They are so, that's what they want to do, is protect our country. And even in Afghanistan where there's fighting, they're on the front lines, they'll come back even wounded and go back for a second tour or a third tour. They are raised up by God, they're servants of God for our protection. For our protection. And this is why we pay taxes. Do you know there's two primary reasons for government? Two primary purposes for government? Not 50, just two. Number one, protection for our borders. Number one. And number two, infrastructure. See it, our roads. That's what we pay taxes for. Over and above that, government should not be involved. Those are the two primary reasons for government. You go to other countries where their infrastructure isn't even very good, they always have military. They're always protecting because the world is lawless, and we have to protect our borders. Every government has a military to protect its borders. That's the primary purpose of government. That's what we pay taxes for. You know, now, this is a personal thing with me, but I vote for every raise that comes up for law enforcement. I feel terrible that we have officers that lay their life on the line every day for our community, and they're living in low-income housing. I think they ought to be well paid for what they do because they keep peace in our community. You know that? I've ridden with officers. Every car they go up to is a potential death trap for them. Every day. Every day. And our military, they go out there, they ought to be well paid. That's where our taxes should be going, increasing that, because they're protecting our borders. They're allowing us to have the freedoms. They're allowing us to enjoy a three-day weekend. And normally, a Memorial Day, people aren't thinking, thank you for the many that went before me and gave their lives that I can have a three-day weekend. You know what we think? Camping. Ah, camping, all right. Or Indy 500. I love the Indy 500. That's what I look forward to in Memorial Day. You know, our nation is losing its honor for those who have gone before us. And that's what this verse continues to go on to say. It goes on to say, for because of this you pay taxes, for the authorities or ministers of God attending this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed. Revenue to whom revenue is owed. Respect to whom respect is owed. And honor to whom honor is owed. And that is what Memorial Day is all about. Giving honor to whom honor is owed. Honor is owed. And if we don't take a look back in history and realize that everything that we enjoy here in the freedoms, someone else has paid the price for, we will develop an attitude of ungratefulness. And also, another attitude that's prevalent in our culture, entitlement. How many of us know there's an attitude of entitlement today? I am entitled, if you've hired me to go to work, I'm entitled to a full paycheck whether I work well or not, whether I show up on time or not. You can't fire me. I have a right to work. I have a right to luxuries. I have a right to upgrades. I have a right to apps on my iPod. How dare my parents tell me I can't get an upgrade or more apps? I have the right to a driver's license. How many of us know driving is a privilege, not a right? And if you get enough tickets, you lose your privilege. But we think we're entitled. I have a right to own a car. I have a right to an education. I have a right to health care. I have a right to welfare. I deserve these things. No, we don't. You know what we deserve? Judgment. And as Christians, we understand that. That's all we really deserve. But we have this attitude of entitlement that has gripped our nation. You know what I recommend, and all my children too, is to go overseas to a third world situation to get some perspective. You know, in other countries, you don't have the rights that we have here. You go to any Middle Eastern country, do you think you have the right to declare that you're a Christian and you can share your faith with anybody you want to on the streets? You think you have the right to do that? No. You don't have the right to do that in any Middle Eastern state. None of the Eastern Bloc countries, all the stands, Kyrgyzstan, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, you don't have rights to do that. China, do you think you have a right to meet wherever you want and honor the Lord? You don't have a right to do that. In fact, in China, if you are not part of the Communist Party, you have a rough life. If you join the Communist Party, they give you a little apartment and they provide for your medical and things like that, make your life a little more comfortable. Of course, you can't promote any kind of religion. You've got to be an atheist. You don't have the right to anything. But in America, because of the freedom that we have, we think we're entitled to all these things instead of being grateful for the privileges and the amenities that we enjoy here, having an attitude of gratitude for that. I had the joy and blessing to be in Nepal years ago to visit two of our missionaries that we support, Gil and Karen Nash, who are going to be here this summer. They were living in Kathmandu at that time, and we went over to see them to encourage them. Well, we happened to land at the peak of the revolution against the king. There was a coup going on and a revolution against the king. They're governed by a king. And so they're blockades and cars on fire and rocks are being thrown all over the place. And so the king has to get control of what's going on there in Kathmandu. So he makes just a statement. All he does is make a statement. Nobody can leave their house, and I'm ordering all my troops, shoot on sight any person you see on the street. Shoot on sight. So we're under house arrest with a shoot on sight edict by the king. All right? So here we are with our missionaries there. Can't go to the store, can't go get more water, can't get more milk or food. You go out to your gate and look down the little street, and there are armed soldiers on either end of the street with loaded guns ready to shoot anybody who steps out there. But I got a right to get some water. I mean, come on now. I got a right for food, don't I? No, you don't have any rights. That's why the Bible says, see, we don't understand that in America. We don't understand dictators or kings in America. We don't understand that kind of controlling government in America. See, the Bible says when the king smiles, everybody's happy. And I'll put it in my words, when the king frowns, bad news for everybody. See, you want to keep the king happy, because in a nation that's run by a king, whatever he says goes. When Esther went into the presence of the king, even though she was the wife he loved the most, anybody who walked into the presence of the king without being invited, his guards killed him on the spot. See? We don't understand that kind of control and rule, because in America, we've had people who've laid down their lives for us to have the freedom that we enjoy today. Thank God for that. See, the scripture says, give respect to whom respect is due and honor to whom honor is due. That's what's pleasing to the Lord for us all. We have a ministry here at our church that I'm so grateful and thankful for. And when you walk into our foyer, you'll see on one side is all the missionaries we support. On the other side are the children of the families in our congregation who are serving in the military right now. And that is because Neil and Mary Willems came to our church years ago and had a vision and a heart for letting our military children know that we love them, care for them, are praying for them, and we send out Jesus Loves You care packages to them regularly, about 7 times a year. Mary, would you come? I want Mary to come and share about this ministry. If you're in our church or in this county, if you have a child in the military, make sure you contact her. But also, you may want to get involved. We're very involved in this, and we thank God that we not only honor our troops one day a year, but throughout the year, we tell them how grateful we are that they're serving our country. So, Mary, thank you for coming up one more time.
Good morning. I have to admit, I'm a lot calmer this service than I was the first service. Somebody's praying, and thank God for those answered prayers. I'd first like to share with you this morning it was probably missed in the news by most people earlier this year, but since this is Memorial Day weekend, I want to share with you that in February, Frank Buckles, he was in the Army, he was the last survivor of World War I, and he passed away in February of this year. So that generation of those American heroes is past. He served in the war to end all wars, but as we know today, that's not the case. And until Jesus comes again, that will not be the case. We need to stop and remember those who have gone before. We have a lot of former military right here within our own church. And outside, there in the entrance way, by the pictures, there is a list of all of our former military. And I would ask that maybe you take a moment to look at that and read those names. Currently, we have 12 active duty members, family members with Winter Park Christian Church, who are actively serving in our military. 3 of them currently that we are supporting, 2 of them, Luke Cousy and Chris Newberry, are in Afghanistan, and Marriott McGrath's son, Sean McGrath, is in Germany. We've also picked up a young man from the county. He graduated from Granby High School, and his name is Ron Hartley. He is in the Army, and he is now deployed in Afghanistan. So we really do want to make this an outreach, not just to people within our own church, but I see that. And please, if you know of other people in the county, please contact me. We'd like to include them and care for their needs, especially for deployments. We have 7 occasions throughout the year that we send packages. And to this date, we have sent out approximately 120 packages over the last 2 years. Those aren't real accurate numbers. I didn't have all my customs forms, so I know it's above that, but at least in that ballpark. We send packages for Valentine's, Easter, Memorial Day, 4th of July, Patriots Day, which is 9/11, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. In these packages that are sent, and I love the way Pastor Doug puts it, that's our Jesus Love You packages, we send for their physical needs. We have an approved list from the Department of Defense that we follow in sending those items needed for them during their deployments. But more than that, we want to make sure that we take care of their spiritual needs. I don't know sometimes who these packages go to, but my belief is that God directs those packages and puts them in the right hands of those that are deployed. In those packages, they get daily breads, tracts, other Bible-related materials. And this side of heaven, I don't know how that looks, but in heaven, I truly do believe that based on your generosity and your giving, there will be many airmen, sailors, soldiers, and Marines in heaven. And I want to thank everybody for that. We also had the privilege this last year from some contacts that I have to minister to 2 special groups of people. The 3-5 Dark Horse Marines out of Camp Pendleton, California. Some of you may have received forwards or emails concerning them from October to the first of the year. But between October and December, they had more casualties than any other unit during that time. The average age of the Marines that were killed during that time was 20 years old. So these are young men that had a whole future ahead of them. We also, before I go on, I want to also let you guys know that those Marines, remaining Marines, returned home safely to Camp Pendleton in March. Mm-hmm. Thank you for supporting them during their deployment. Thank God for their safe return home. Also, Delia had helped with a friend from Granby. We had a female engagement team from Camp Pendleton, California as well, that had special needs. And Delia took that upon herself as an extension of our body here, Winter Park Christian Church. And with her friend, they supported and sent many packages. And the female needs are sometimes different, and a little more specialized in some ways, in that they go into the communities and they deal specifically with the women and children in these Muslim countries. And so some of the items that were sent were tailored towards bridging those gaps and breaking down those barriers and ministering. And I'm sure many of these, and I just thought of this, but I'm sure many of these female Marines probably don't know Christ. However, I firmly believe that Christ is using them in those gifts that they were ministering to the Muslim community, and I firmly believe God's going to use that. Another member of our church, Milani Bleck, she was with the State Department in the embassy in Afghanistan. And during her time while she was there, we supported her kind of as a branch of our military ministry. She's with the State Department. I just really want to say thank you again for all you guys have done to help support this ministry over the last 2 years. And I really look forward to seeing more people, more names, bring them, whatever we can do to help support and spread. We are Jesus' arms and heart reaching out. We need to support them, pray for them. So thanks again for your support for this ministry.
Praise God. Thank you, Mary. I'm going to pray for you one more time. Let's pray for Mary and this great ministry and great mission field there. Some of you saw maybe on the news the special on the Marine Women's Engagement Team going over there. And so thank God that we were able to reach out to them. Father in heaven, what a blessing it is to just be able to share your love in so many different ways. Thank you for Mary and Neil, her husband. Thank you for their heart for you and for Mary's willingness to coordinate this great outreach here. We pray it would be an encouragement to our children that are serving in the military now, and also to many others. A lot of soldiers that don't have anybody back home, and what a blessing it is to let them know someone here cares, especially for Ron as he goes out. We pray for him that he would be touched greatly by your grace and reach out to you while he's out there in those war zones. And we want to thank you and praise you for this. Pray your blessing in every way upon this ministry and its continual effectiveness. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Mary. Praise God. Isn't God good? Thank God for that. Also, tomorrow, just for your information, in Grand Lake, there's a veterans parade up there. There's a breakfast at 8:30. And also they're going to be honoring the World War II vets. I know that Marty's dad, my father-in-law, has had shrapnel from World War II. He suffered with all of his life for our country, for safety. My dad served in World War II, too. So thank God for that. Here in closing, I want to do a couple things. One is that there is a song that's going to be played in tens of thousands of places tomorrow across the United States. Ceremonies, cemeteries, and the song is called Taps. And all of us have heard Taps pretty much. But what many people don't know are there are words to that song. There's about 5 or 6 verses to the song Taps, and they greatly honor God. And so we're going to show on the screen while we play Taps this morning, show you the words to Taps, the first and the last verse only, okay? So watch this. And while you're listening to this, maybe there's someone that you want to thank God for while we do this, okay? As we go, this we know, God is near, God is nigh. That's our hope. That's what gives us peace in this hour. Before we close today, I'd like us to do something. I'd like Anyone who has ever served in the military, maybe you're retired or inactive or active, and anybody who is a part of our law enforcement up here, sheriff's department, police department, state troopers, we've got them all in this church. Would you stand right now? We want to thank God for you. Please. Go ahead. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And every time we do this, I want you to notice, very few stand up and a whole lot of people enjoy the benefits of what they've done. Be grateful to God this weekend. Let it be a little bit more than a picnic or a camping time. Maybe as families we can, you might want to call someone that you know, grandpa, dad. Just tell them thank you for what they've done. General Douglas MacArthur, general in World War II, said, "The soldier above all people prays for peace, for he must bear and suffer the deepest wounds and the scars of war. No one prays for peace like the soldiers and law enforcement that are out there. Thank God for each one of them. Give honor to whom honor is due. First of all, to God Almighty, who's in charge of all the nations, and then to those who've gone before us that enable us to have all the freedom and joy that we have here in the United States of America." Let's bow for prayer here as our worship team comes, our ensemble, to lead us in a final song today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord God Almighty, we praise you. Father in heaven, we thank you for your love and mercy on us. And because you are sovereign, because you move on hearts to take the positions to protect our nation and our communities, you have handpicked men and women to do that. You've given them a desire to serve in those capacities, or else we would not be able to have peace, Lord. Not peace in our nation, not peace at our borders, and not peace in our communities. So we give you praise and thanks for your daily mercy upon all of us. And forgive us, O God, for times when we've been ungrateful, when we haven't expressed thanks to you and to others. Maybe we've fallen into this attitude of entitlement rather than taking stock of the privileges that we have here. May we never take them for granted. Father in heaven, thank you today. Father, we pray especially for families who've lost loved ones who've given their lives for us, to strengthen them today. Encourage them. Only you can fill the void and comfort them in this hour. And how we give you praise and thanks for your great love for us. Most of all, Jesus, for your love. And may we be found faithful to declare the good news of the gospel to all the nations, knowing that then the end will come. We want to be found faithful to you, Lord. So we thank you for all these things today now. In Jesus' name, amen.